Support for WPR comes from Milwaukee Film, presenting the 16th Annual Milwaukee Film Festival, featuring local, national, and international films, April 11th through the 25th. Tickets are at mkefilm.org. Support for WPR comes from Rutabaga Paddle Sports, offering kayaks, canoes, and outdoor equipment for anyone wanting to experience the natural beauty of Wisconsin water. 2620 Rimrock Road in Madison or rutabagashop.com.
The phrase slow money sounds a lot like what we read about in the financial pages these days. But to a growing number of socially conscious investors, slow money sounds like a good thing. Angel investor Woody Tash invented the phrase. Tash is an experienced venture capitalist, chairman of Investors Circle, and a startup investor in a lot of companies that went on to make big money, like Stonyfield Yogurt and Patagonia Clothing. But slow money goes a step beyond socially conscious investing. In a new book on the subject, Tash says to him it means investing as if food, farms, and the fertility of the soil mattered. And he thinks it's a vision that could fix what's wrong with our economy and our country.
The concept of slow is becoming easier for people to understand simply against the excesses of fast. And if you just think of what's happened in the credit markets as being a consequence of money that is too fast and disconnected from places, you can intuitively begin to get an idea of what we mean by slow. I would suggest a phrase for people as we approach this that's useful, and that's nurture capital, which when I first used it, I was using it somewhat playfully as a kind of a direction, and I've noticed that it really is sticking with people, that venture capital is about high tech, high growth, very important. This is not against venture capital. It's very important to say that for certain kinds of technology, that's what you need to do. But for the thousands of small, local first, independent businesses that we want to support and allow to stay appropriate scale and stay rooted in their communities, we need to think differently. And that's that paradigm we can call nurture capital, and it'll start leading us in the right direction.
So give me an example of the kind of thing that you want to invest in.
I've been using an example of a company in Vermont because it's a company I know well as a customer. I long loved the product, but also I invested in one of his competitors. So I've got it on both sides, and the story is worth telling. The company's Butterworks Farm. It's a 325-acre farm about 10 miles south of the Canadian border in Vermont. Husband and wife have been on it for 35 years. And to make that story short, they import almost no inputs. It's a beautiful, sustainable, they grow their own feed, 60 cows, et cetera. What do? They have a $1 million yogurt business called Butterworks Farm Yogurt. That's a fantastic product. You could call it artisan yogurt if you want. And one way of summarizing the purpose of slow money would be to say that we want to create, you know, 500 Butterworks Farms, not one $500 million yogurt company.
Aren't you faced with an almost insurmountable problem when you describe it this way? Because as I hear you describe it, the basis of slow money is slow return.
Well, if the insurmountable challenge that you're referring to is you're going to have to convince investors to be happy making less money.
Yes.
If we get right down to it, the answer is yes. That is what we are going to have to do. Why do we think we can do it? Or why do we think it's important? First of all, look at what's going on around us in the conventional financial markets right now. Now, nobody knows for sure, myself included, of course, nobody knows for sure what the long-term impact of this is going to be, whether this is the collapse or the beginning of the collapse or the beginning of the end of certain big epics of capitalism called globalization, et cetera.
On the other hand, this could be the perfect time for a movement like yours. Slow return is better than no return.
We've had lots of jokes about this, minus 5% is the new plus 20%. Ben Cohen, actually, Ben and Jerry's made that joke. He's for people who know his sense of humor. But I think now is a time, at least, I can say this, that people are willing to have a serious discussion. In a sense, take the gloves off and say, you know what, maybe the era of making 20% and 10%, and also, that was great from 1950 to 2000. And this is the way I really think about it, Jim. I think about it in generational or, let's say, larger historical terms. I don't care. As a human being on the planet right now, however many people we have, 6.5 billion people and all kinds of problems, I do not care what rate of return came out of a few portfolios from 1975 to 2000. That means nothing to me as a citizen of the planet. What concerns me is how do we use the wealth we've created? And it was called by venture capitalist John Doerr the largest legal accumulation of wealth in history. He's referring to venture capital, but it's a great description of the whole picture. We've created enormous financial wealth. It's skewed horribly, but we have created enormous financial wealth. Let's say 10 or 20% of the people on the planet have directly benefited greatly from that. How are we going to use it to save ourselves? Now, it's not a complete, we're not throwing the other system out. I want to make that clear, too. It's not like I'm against all fast money, but I do believe it's very important for us to find some creative ways to slow some portions of our money down. Forget the old social investment benchmarks, forget the Dow, forget venture capital rates of return, and say, if we do what we know needs to be done and invest in thousands of these small businesses, how much money can we make? And I think the answer is going to be a little, a little, but it's going to be very attractive because of all the good it's going to do and because of the alternative it will offer to the other things people are now doing with their money.
Well, in practical terms, you say forget about the Dow, forget about the stock exchange. Can you forget about the stock exchange? Is there a place for slow money in the existing investment market?
I think that a large number of people in many areas of the country would be delighted to put some money to work this way if we could make it easy for them. So what does that mean? It means some kind of municipal bond concept. If you think about that as a vehicle as opposed to venture capital, it gives you more of a model, a way that a large number of regular investors could pool money and it would go into a region, but in this case, it would go for sustainable agriculture in the region. Now, there's a larger question behind your previous question when you said forget the Dow. And there are a bunch of crazy folks, if we use put the word in crazy in quotes, talking about an alternative stock exchange. If you think that the stock exchange emerged starting around 1600 in the Netherlands and going to New Amsterdam and then it became Wall Street, what's it all about? It's about extraction, exploration, growth, throughput, risk-taking. I mean, that's what it's all about, and it functions extremely well.
If we had other planets to explore, perhaps it could continue. But
People have noticed that, absolutely. So the question now is, can we create other kinds of capital markets that really are designed around restoration and preservation instead of extraction and consumption?
You're pretty clear in describing your own motivation in doing this. Let's talk about me for a moment.
That's enough about you, Jim.
As a representative of the consumer living in the United States today, let's say I want to do this. I want to engage in a slow money philosophy. How? What do I do?
The first answer is there are things happening right now that, while they're not normally thought of as investments, they are a form of investment. The most obvious one is community-supported agriculture. Now, I don't know if all listeners will know what a CSA is. It's very simple. That's part of the beauty of it. It's a farm that sells a share of its farm produce before the farm year to its customers. So you might have 100 families or 200 families or 400 families. The largest one in the United States, I believe, is north of 2,000 families.
And this is an example where you pick up your box
exactly.
of beets
exactly.
when beets are in season.
And you know, some people don't like it because you only get whatever's produced that, you know, I don't like beets, and this week my bag had a lot of beets in it. It's a beautiful thing. Most people who participate are wildly enthusiastic about it. Again, this is not, you can't invest thousands of dollars this way, but it's the beginning. It's a small thing that you as an individual can do right now. But the real answer to your question is there's not much available right now. This is the whole point. I'm not claiming that we have all the answers by any means. I'm just saying we're turning and staring at a target and saying, let's keep staring at this and figure out how we can provide connections between people who have money to invest, and in this case, small food enterprises in their region, and that's a beginning.
Woody Tash is Chairman Emeritus of the Investors Circle, a nonprofit network of investors that's facilitated the flow of more than $130 million into green companies and venture funds. His book is called Inquiries into the Nature of Slow Money, Investing as if Food, Farms, and Fertility Mattered.